Welcome to Mouthfuls of Madness.
This is episode 18.
Oh, wow.
This is another Jake-less episode because...
Jake is nowhere to be found.
Jake is still lost.
Search party
there's a search party. Like helicopters and...
Mm-hmm. That's been a thing recently. People have been getting lost in the damn mountains up there, you know? Got to get picked up by a helicopter a few days later or, you know, some of the cases, you know, like 3 weeks later.
Fucking white people.
Yeah, that's a hashtag white people problems right there.
That's what everybody says when they're like, oh, somebody, they found a body in the ocean. I'm like, fucking white people.
Yeah.
They're just dying. You can't handle the island life.
You know, it's difficult out there.
It's hard out here for a pimp.
You know that. You know. I mean, if you're going to go in the woods, you know, for all these days and, you know, hike around and stuff like that, I mean, definitely got to be prepared for some stuff. You know, I think about that all the time. What would I bring with me? I'm going to go right in the backyard right here. Oh, crater. Go to the top, right? What do I got to bring for a successful mission back, you know?
Knife.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Second thing, another knife.
Yeah, a couple knives, eh? That's never a bad thing.
Multiple knives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
And then, you know... Never hurts to bring some sustenance, you know, a bottle of ranch dressing. You can live off a bottle of ranch dressing for a long time, you know. Take a swig of that ranch dressing, you're good, man. That'll set you straight for a week right there.
It's also antiseptic, I've heard. You just, like, rub that on a wound.
Yeah.
You could, like, put it as, like, suntan lotion, sunscreen, ranch dressing. Yeah.
The many uses of ranch dressing. Hey, you know, I went to the store the other day, and I
just picture you shirtless with a bandolier of ranch dressings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That was my Christmas card. That was my Christmas card last year, you know. Looked like Rambo. Rambo of ranch.
Ranchbo?
Yeah, ranch. Ooh. Rambo. You know, I went to the store the other day. I was in Safeway.
Yeah.
And, you know, Safeway, number one, if you go there.
Oh, you know what? Just for one second. So this is Tristan.
Oh, yeah.
By the way. So.
All formalities aside. Yeah. You know, introductions.
Everybody knows Tristan. So there is no really introduction. Anybody that knows Tristan would hear his voice on the podcast and there would be no introduction.
Hmm.
I could play this podcast blasting from my speakers through Honolulu, and people would be like, oh, this is fucking Tristan.
Mm, tune in. Yeah, I went to Safeway the other day, and Safeway, just so you know, if you go shopping there, just get ready to pay double. You know, if you went to Times, all right, you know, you're looking at $100. If you look at Safeway, all right, $200, you know. So instantly, right off the bat, you know, Safeway is a commitment to make, you know. But I went in there, and I was looking at some barbecue sauce, you know, because I love barbecue sauce, of course. And right next to it is, like, the ranch dressing and stuff like that. And
next to the barbecue stuff?
Hidden Valley Ranch, man, figured something out a long time ago. They figured out how to put some type of seasonings in a packet and sell it to you for almost $4.
That's ranch seasoning.
And that's impressive. You know, can you imagine the profits at the damn Hidden Valley Ranch, you know?
They're exponential.
Exponential, dude. Like, I'm hundreds of billions.
We know, being in the business, how much it takes to make a spice blend.
Yeah.
And it's not...
Exactly.
It's not a lot of money.
That's my point. You know, they have some secret sauce, man. And you know that damn ranch packet, no matter what the hell you do, you can't make anything that you make taste like that. It just has something in it, some sort of secret.
MSG.
It's definitely the MSG's that'll get you for sure. You know.
I always think that's funny that nobody thinks MSG's in anything but Chinese food.
I know, and it's actually in a lot of things. You know, I...
like Doritos.
I've actually stopped eating MSG.
Why?
You know, I don't know, man. You know,
it's so good.
It's one of those things, you know, I've really been thinking too.
Are you like keto now? Is that?
No. No, you know, a lot of people, they do, you know, CrossFit and stuff like that. And they go and they work out and, you know, CrossFit. I do the opposite of that. I do CrossFat. That's where I just go across town, eat a bunch of stuff, get fatter, you know. So it's much more enjoyable, at least for the spirit and the soul, you know. I mean, I don't know about all that squatting and stuff. You see those chicks and they got giant thighs. Like, yeah, how many squats do you have to do to get those thighs, you know?
Like, me personally, to get their thighs?
You'd have to do...
I have large thighs, so yeah, I don't need them.
You have very shapely thighs. Yeah.
But I mean, you can't deny. You know, I saw, you know, what's her name? I don't know if she's her name. What she fucking, what, you know, Katie came up in my feed the other day. She's doing like a sponsored Fabletics.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is Wanderlust, like, Katie.
Well, Yoga Katie.
Oh, Yoga Katie. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Katie, same, yoga, same Katie. Yeah.
Same Katie, different times.
Yeah. I could see that.
In her life. Well, no, I was like, oh, well, that's pretty good for her. She's always been, you know, CrossFit, yoga, and then now she's got some sponsored on her Instagrams.
Mm-hmm.
Said, like, official paid.
Oh, wow.
Fabletics endorsement on her Instagram post. And I was like, So if you want to send me some stretchy pants Fabletics, yeah, I'll fucking model the shit out of those things. They might rip.
Yeah.
Get ready. I'll slap them on. You know what I like when I'm sitting down to eat a bowl of chili? Is some comfortable Fabletics.
Oh, yeah, man.
The way they just hug my curves and don't dig into my gut as I eat stuff, it makes me feel so good. Yeah. Because I may want to work out afterwards and I won't be prepared, but I don't actually want to work out.
You know, get a little moose knuckle action going on there.
Oh,
you know
shit, I mean? Yeah. That's like two moose knuckles.
Yeah, at least.
For sure. Double moose knuckle?
Ooh.
With moose feet? Moose tracks?
Yeah. You've heard of moose tracks? We're not talking about the ice cream.
Yeah.
Totally different thing.
Ooh, baby, that's not it.
Yeah, you know, saying to a guy the other day, we were talking, and he was with his wife and everything, and somehow we got talking about yoga, you know? And I said, yeah, man, you got to watch out for those yoga instructors, you know? And then I thought about it, and, you know, in reality, if the guy came home and he said, hey, you know, honey, I went to yoga today. I really like it. You know, the instructor is really good. You know, the woman should be scared. But if the girl comes home and she says, hey, you know, I went to this yoga class today and the yoga instructor was really good. There's nothing to fear. You know, yoga instructors are, there's nothing there. You know, they're not going to take your woman away. Most likely they're mostly
female.
They're mostly female and or
gay.
Yeah.
You know. You could say whatever the fuck you want. Well, it doesn't matter. Believe me, this is the most un-PC, un-give-a-fuck space you could ever be in.
Oh, wow.
Nobody gives a shit.
It's better.
This is just me and you having a conversation. If you want to listen to it, they can go.
Yeah, it's better than a room.
If you don't want to listen to it, you can go fuck yourself. It don't matter.
It's better than a room I go into scream in every day.
Yeah, this is my room to scream in.
Yeah, you just have a podcast. Screaming room, you know.
Like I said all the time, is that this podcast is how I view, this is my opinion, the opinion of people I talk to. I try to breathe off camera because it's very loud when I, but it's how I view cooking too. It's like, I make stuff I want to eat. If you want to eat it, good, then you can eat it. If you don't want to eat it, then go somewhere else. If you don't want to listen to this, there's so many other options that you can have.
There's no shortage of content. Table,
by the way, it's loud. Ooh, so loud.
Oh, man.
Yes, who is it? Who is that? Dear God. There's somebody at the door. Oh, sorry. That was just... I wanted a knock on the table.
Excuse me as I do a strange interlude.
This is...
I gotta love a soliloquy, you know? I'm a soliloquy person, you know?
Sweet heat sauce?
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, that Popeyes, man, you know? Sweet heat. I was pretty upset at Popeyes.
That fucking chicken sandwich fiasco?
Yeah, no, it's quite a fiasco. And, you know, and you're a $1 billion chain, right? But you can't somehow figure out how to sell or send chicken to Hawaii?
They have... I mean, dude, no, it's nationwide.
Oh, they have a shortage for sure, you know?
Like, they just stopped selling the chicken sandwich.
Altogether.
So we have a lot of listeners that do not live in the United States.
Oh, wow. Hi, Malaysia.
No, Mauritius. We got, like, Mauritius. We got, like, Japan. No, I think not Japan. Like, South Africa. Fucking some all over the place. Ireland. Big Canada. We talk about Canada all the time because we have our sister podcast, the W-Files.
Yeah.
As we like to say. But, yeah, so for those of you who don't know, there's a place called Popeyes that serves a Louisiana-style chicken. Because what is their tagline? Is it, get yourself some Popeyes? Or, oh, it tastes better at Popeyes. Or
whatever the fuck it is. I don't know. I thought it was pork chop so chunky, tastes real good, will make your bathroom smell funky. I thought that's what it was.
They don't serve pork chops anymore, I don't think. I think it's specifically chicken. Yeah.
What's in this stuff? Nothing but poke.
This is pork formed into chicken.
Yeah, you never can tell. I mean, the chicken nuggets were made of that damn pink slime.
I know it sounds like I might be high, but I'm not. I just giggle when guilty I get around Tristan. Tristan's pretty high.
Hey.
But, that's just.
I figured if you study high, take the test high, get high scores. That was always my my inclination.
That doesn't sound like a boom-tsh.
Yeah.
But Popeyes rolled out what was supposed to be the chicken sandwich to end all chicken sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to fuck Chick-fil-A in the ass with the chicken sandwich. And then they ran out of chicken sandwiches.
Exactly. They just couldn't hold up, you know.
And so they pulled all the marketing. They pulled all the fucking stuff. And they don't talk about chicken sandwiches anymore because they couldn't fucking follow through.
We'll sweep that chicken sandwich under the rug. You never heard about that chicken sandwich.
Right? What's funny to me is that, like, this multi-billion-dollar corporation, A, they rolled it out. B, you knew it was going to be popular. You had to at least think that it was going to do fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
Third, you didn't count, like, you didn't have any way of making, like, backups. Like, you didn't have a freezer full of fucking chicken sandwiches. Because that shit's all frozen. So, like, why didn't you make it? And then how is it such a big deal? Because, like, you're still supplying chicken and chicken tenders and chicken nuggets and all the shit that your fucking Popeyes cooks. Why didn't you have a backup of chicken sandwiches? It's not a finite. It's not like helium. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, we gotta wait for this other chicken to degrade and become chicken sandwiches before we can serve the chicken sandwiches. So we're out of chicken sandwiches. Like.
And what could be the difference between the Popeyes chicken sandwich and all the other chicken that they make there? What have they been feeding us?
They're motherfucking Louisiana spices, bro.
Exactly. You know,
come down to Louisiana, you get them spices. You get that Zatarain's.
The Zatarain's.
You get that crab boy. You put that in there. Oh, boy.
Zatarain's. There's another one.
What if that's all Popeyes is? It's just fucking Zatarain's.
Yeah.
Fucking spices.
Getting back on the ranch, you know, you got all those people sitting in a room, you know, it's the Hidden Valley Ranch people, it's Zatarain's, they're all sitting around, you know, just
it's all the same thing.
Talking about their spice packets. But
Big Spice? Was that the they're out to
Big Spice.
Man. Big Spice, it's a conspiracy, bro.
It's the spice,
everything is ranch.
The spice industrial military complex, you know. Gotta watch out for that.
That's really what's in Area 51.
I went to Popeyes the other day, you know, because I like their biscuits, man. Their biscuits
are pretty good.
Are pretty good. I mean, I sometimes make biscuits.
Because they butter the fuck out of them.
I think that's it. Just liquid lard that they pour onto it. Or,
it's that, like, that popcorn artificial flavored butter. Oh, yeah. It's like the artificial that's super high yellow.
Okay. So whatever it is, I you know, I don't even really care that much about the chicken, but man, those biscuits are pretty good, you know. And I went there, and I didn't even really try and order the Popeyes chicken sandwich. But the lady, you know, she came on the intercom. And she immediately told me, no, we don't have the Popeyes chicken sandwich. And I was like, ma'am, I wasn't even ordering a chicken sandwich, you know. I don't know what you're talking about. You
May
know?
I have a biscuit, please?
And I think, we get a piece of hardtack. Yeah, so they obviously are very on edge that they don't have these Popeyes chicken sandwiches there.
That's a big fuck up.
It is.
You're going to think the employees are just like, fuck, man, like, this is not my fault.
Oh, they're taking
I didn't
abuse.
Have anything to do with this chicken thing, but they catch all the shit for it.
Yep.
My wife, it was funny because I actually went there specifically to get this fucking chicken sandwiches. And as I pull up, it's like a long fucking line. There's always a line at Popeyes. At pretty much any fucking fast food joint in Hawaii, like, you hit that certain time and it's like everything's crowded, like nobody fucking eats at home.
Welcome
so I get there,
life.
I'm stuck in the fucking line, and as soon as I get up to the window, they just got the fucking thing that says, we're out of chicken sandwiches. I'm like, ugh. So now I'm in line, and I got, like, hungry fucking people waiting at home, and I'm just like, well, just give me a fucking 8-piece, you know, some biscuits and shit. I tell my wife, I'm like, hey, you know, they didn't have chicken sandwiches. And she sends me this thing the next day. Where, because I talk about how I hate mukbangs and like the kids love watching those mukbangs.
Yeah.
And she sends me this link, and it's this Hawaiian, like, fucking mukbang person, and they have, like, 15 to 25 fucking Popeye's chicken sandwiches, and they're like, oh, you bubble chicken sandwich. And I'm like, this fucking asshole, this, those are my, four of those are mine.
Yeah.
You fucked me. Four of those fucking chicken sandwiches were meant for me and my family. You took food out of my fucking family's mouth.
You have deprived me. You're
fucking mukbang.
Man. Yeah, that mukbang stuff, you know, it seems to be quite popular, you know, among so many people. And,
oh, yeah. It's, you know, pretty crazy.
Yeah. I'd like to see the statistics on how many people, you know, die of, you know, dehydration from all that sodium of those ramen noodle packets and stuff that they eat, you know.
What I don't understand is why is it mass quantities?
Yeah.
That's what I don't get. You have, like, this slight, I mean, it's got to be borderline fetish. You know, obviously not for the kids, but, like, why do you need to consume so much in front of a camera? Like, couldn't you just... Because it's always... most of them are reviews. Or they're just talking about their life in general while eating huge quantities of food. But if you're just doing a review, do you need to eat 55 chicken strips?
Yeah.
I mean... I'll do that alone in my room while I watch TV.
Filling my emptiness with food.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good saying, you know, in case you're ever at a point where you...
That's a dog.
That's a dog.
In case you don't know what a small dog sounds like.
Yeah. Burp. Still not exactly sure what type of creature she is, but pretty sure she's a dog, you know.
It's not a long-haired chihuahua.
That raccoon. Welcome to a Pomeranian, so.
Oh, it's a Pomeranian.
Yeah. Fix us in the editing portion of the show. You know, man, there's a lot of things going on in the world today.
Oh, yeah?
None of them positive. You know? Where's the feel-good stories, man? I try and get a couple feel-good stories a day, man. You got any good feel-good stories?
No. You don't know me very well.
Yeah.
I'm not the feel-good guy. Mm. You can be the feel-good guy. You're the positive one.
Oh, nice. I like to bring some positive.
What's your vibes, what's a positive vibe?
Burp. Yeah, exactly. I need someone else to do that for me. I need someone to fill me up with these good things, you know. I recently started doing some research on how samurai people raised their children. And because I had this concept and this notion that perhaps, you know, the samurai raised their children in some secret sauce that, you know, the kids are going to turn out, you know, perfect and honorable and respectful and all those things that you want from kids, you know. Your kids are pretty nice kids, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you just shelter them from the world and you don't let them out or anything. Corporal punishment. I have another friend. I was like, dude, I don't know how your kids are the most polite, you know, nice children.
Really like gives that me, in public.
Gives me hope, you know.
Yeah. But they're good at home, too, but they're crazy.
Yeah. Hey,
you know. But they're definitely better... In public.
Yeah. Well, I get to, you know, a bird's eye view from a lot of, you know, kids and stuff and, you know, taking people, you know, on tours and stuff like that.
Oh, the glass bottom.
Oh, yeah. You know, come on down. See the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, you plug the glass bottom boat. Okay. Hey.
Thank you, guys.
Get it out there.
You know, we're very fortunate. We have a lot of business over there. But, you know.
Oh, now you're too good to plug
the glass
bottom. Is that what you're saying? Now this podcast isn't good enough for your fucking glass bottom
boat? No, it's great.
Go fuck yourself with the glass bottom boat.
It's not even
a fully glass bottom boat. It's like a glass bottom ports of the boat.
Exactly.
You got to look at a hole.
I learned that on Yelp. I didn't learn about working out there. Just on Yelp. Yeah, Yelp, you know, is what I do when I, accidentally step on my dog on the night, you know. Just Yelp. That's it.
That's the only good Yelp.
Yeah.
Is that involuntary dog pain.
But I started doing the research on the samurai kids, you know, and turns out samurai kids were fucked up. Like, they had a lot of issues. Many of them, in certain cases, were given away. Into indentured servitude or some type of slavery in the countryside and farming provinces and stuff, you know, prefectures. And then some of them actually died of lead poisoning because I know, it's pretty interesting, right? But if you've ever seen, like, the geisha makeup that is all white back in the day,
that was lead-based.
They used to have wet nurses who were not super high ranking. so the wet nurses would make their skin appear whiter to seem of a higher rank or class, social status.
You know?
And then they would, you know, feed the baby, you know, as the wet nurse and everything. And the baby would in turn, because they'd put it all on their chest and everything, even up to
the nipple?
Basically, because they wanted the baby to see the white parts too. Jesus Christ. Not just the people, you know. So the baby, you know, you can imagine all that white
paint. Plus then if they did the tit to the nipple, then it kind of looked like the Japanese flag.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the big red dot right in the middle. But they basically started, you know, suckling on this lead-based paint. And thus, unfortunately, a lot of them had neurological disorders. Yeah. Some of them had, you know, extreme wasting syndromes and other things. And
just a bunch of thin, crazy.
Pretty crazy. So my Samurai Son book that's coming out pretty soon, you know, it'll be full of fun factoids like that. You know, what to do and what not to do.
That would be almost like a modern, not modern because samurai culture is pretty old, but like samurai version of like Don Quixote. You know, because it's like he's now grown up in this culture with his lead-based paint neuroticism and his fucked up mind, and he's so now he goes on these quests to fight things, but he's all fucked up in the head with it.
You're onto something.
He's just like,
you've got a character profile right here.
I see the visions in front of my face.
Yeah, and he'd have a really cool little sidekick.
Yeah, know? The dude's just like, whoa, this guy's like his fucking wet nurse.
His wet nurse
dude that's just trying to take care of him so he doesn't fucking kill himself.
Yeah, you know, actually, Don Quixote, man, one of, I think, my favorite stories. And, you know, obviously the Man of La Mancha, you know, Peter O'Toole.
Mm-hmm.
Peter O'Toole, John Gielgud. You know, I worked with Gielgud. He was my understudy. No, you know, they were all very talented people, man, back then. Actors, you know, and I think about this a lot,
too. But were they? Some of them were not.
Well, I think acting was a little bit different. It was more of a fantasy. It wasn't. Today, we're trying to depict reality in film. I'm not disparaging
Peter O'Toole. I think Peter O'Toole is good. But, like.
Yeah. No.
Who's that guy with fucking, you know, like, It's a Wonderful Life?
It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah. What was that actor fucking.
Jimmy Stewart.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if
Mama,
you look,
come on.
Jimmy Stewart. If you look back at Jimmy Stewart stuff, like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington,
sure.
When he does that, the whole filibuster scene, and it's like, it does not hold up.
Yeah.
It doesn't. This American classic. And you're just like, boy, that's bad.
I figured out. I figured out a thing about Jimmy Stewart movies a number of years ago, and you know, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, I had a very depressing Christmas where I was, you know, it was at night, it was late, I had not received any gifts or any, you know, Christmas cheer or greetings, and I was, you know, sitting somewhere watching "It's a Wonderful Life" with Jimmy Stewart on Christmas, right? And I thought, man, this movie really rings true. You know, this movie is like the best movie ever, you know? Like, it really made me feel pretty good. I thought that was interesting, man. So, you know, time went by, and eventually I watched it again. I saw it on. I was like, oh, I'll try and watch this. Couldn't watch it for 5 fucking minutes, you know? So I realized that if you want to watch fucking It's a Wonderful Life and you're alone on Christmas, watch it. Great movie, you know? If you by any chance want to be entertained at all, don't watch it on any other day. So that's what I learned about Jimmy Stewart and those movies, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Today I was watching a Marx Brothers film, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
damn, yesterday, you know, I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How I got in my pajamas, I'll never know.
Exactly, you know. And I think those guys, you know, are really talented. If you look at it, you know, Groucho, he played the guitar, he could sing, he could dance, he could do all these things. And
see, those kind of actors, though, like, they came from that stock of, like, vaudeville.
Yeah, if you were vaudeville.
They had to fucking do that shit.
Hey, how about the Kaiser? So much like, put him on a roll.
Yeah, you know.
Vaudeville.
Like, even, like, Abbott and Costello.
Yep.
Like, those dudes were, like, fucking awesome, but they had to like perform. Like, I think that's like the difference between like a stage actor and then they become a film actor. They're just kind of like, maybe they're better at their craft,
sure,
than people that just do movies. And like those most famous acts, like the vaudeville stuff, like that whole who's on first and what's on second, you know, I think that was like an act.
Who is on first?
Multiple people did. Who's on first?
Yeah, that was a...
Is on first?
Yeah. Oh.
What's on second?
Still ain't got that after all these years.
It's the Asian guy.
Yeah, if you were...
He's on first.
Oh, who? Yeah.
But those were like... They were like the quote-unquote like... classics, like, you know, like Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and all those guys, like,
sure,
you listen to those albums and they have the same songs, they're the fucking tried and true, like, there was a name for that, you know, they're like the, that was just the music, you know, that they had, like, these people wrote music and they're like, here, you sing it.
Yeah.
You know, like, the vaudeville acts were the same thing, and, like, that Who's on First act that they made so famous was actually done by multiple people.
Sure.
In vaudeville, because it was just, like, a vaudevillian act.
You did. Exactly. You know, it was a classic.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, it was just like somebody getting famous, like Bublé getting famous for singing My Way.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, but that's like, who hasn't sung that song?
Exactly. You know, it's the theme to Soko Ga Japan, if you watch that on Kiku TV. It's a Japanese TV show.
Why do you watch Japanese TV?
Well, you know, it's...
You're a Japanophile, aren't you?
I sort of am in certain capacities. And I go back to Japan in December, go over there, and Nihon, we enjoy all the fine tabimono.
Hey.
Yeah,
you make very it nice. Sound dirty.
Oh, it's a nice place, yeah. I actually don't like my voice in Japanese. Like, if I say things in Japanese, I think I sound totally different, you know? So, I try.
I mean, you're not Japanese.
Exactly.
So, that's probably why.
Probably all right. You know?
Your voice does sound magical over the mic, though.
Oh, thank you.
In my ears, tickling the hairs inside my eardrums.
Just smoke for 20 years, you'll sound just like this, you know.
Get kicked in the throat by a mule.
That's what happened to me earlier.
Whiskey and cigars.
Mm.
I feel like if we both talk at the same time, we're going to get that brown note. Some of these listeners are going to shit themselves.
Wouldn't be the first time. Every once in a while.
I think your voice is deeper than mine, though.
You know, I actually had a friend growing up. And, you know, I used to sing and in a lot of choirs and things like that.
You were the bop.
Yeah, I was in the back. I was in the background of Hanson back in the day. Also the background singer for Chili's. Oh, well, my baby, big, baby, big.
Chili's.
Yeah, you were the front singer for that. You were the soloist.
I can only hit the Chili's note. Mm-hmm. That's as high as I go. Chili's.
Yeah, Chili's sucks, by the way. Sorry, Chili's. I'm not sorry,
Chili's. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, if you work at Chili's,
that's your bad.
Yeah, you should probably,
you're part of the problem,
find some new employment in some way. You know, you really can't be proud of bringing people anything but sizzling fajitas there. You know, I mean, if you bring people sizzling fajitas, you're like, yeah, you really can't not enjoy that. It's just chicken. It's peppers. They're not even cooked. You know, onions. Here's some tortillas.
When you take them out of the equation, the food's good.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been to Chili's probably 3 times.
Yeah.
It's terrible every time I go. It's just not good. And it's always weird because those places like the McDonald's and the Chili's, and that, you don't expect much from them and they don't expect much from themselves.
Sure.
But they're always the ones putting out that culture of like, we're a team and we love working at Chili's. Come join us, everybody. It's so great. We love working here. It's the culture of food. And everybody gets there like, we don't fucking give a shit about this place.
Yeah.
Nobody has any consequences. You fucking drop food on the floor, they pick it up and throw it back in the fucking thing. I went to that place, and there was a fucking dirty flower handprint on the bathroom door. Like the, not the employee bathroom door.
Yeah.
The public bathroom door.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody came out of the fucking kitchen, covered in flour, I'm assuming. Somebody fucking antiqued them.
Yeah.
And they put the fucking hand on the door, and it just, like, big. Like, it was pretty much fingertip to, like, wrist. Like, I don't know how you push a door like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they did. And it stayed there the entire time I was at Chili's that day. And I was just like, ain't nobody gonna fucking clean that up?
No, it'll be there. It's like, probably been there for years. It's probably, like, some famous baker's handprint who used to work there when it was a bakery, before it became a Chili's, you know.
It wasn't even, just left it.
Nobody, it was a rehung door from the bakery. Hey, I can give you the instructions to cook anything at Chili's. You ready?
Sure.
All right. Open bag. Pour into deep fryer. Press button for timer. Take out of deep fryer. Pour on plate. Done.
Yeah.
That's your entire cooking instructions, you know.
I'm going to open a Chili's now.
If you're a cook at Chili's, you're not a cook.
Yeah.
You actually don't really...
You're the middleman for a fryer and a microwave.
Basically, you know.
They should just call you fry facilitator.
And I want to say that, you know, you definitely can pursue, you know, a career in food. That's excellent, you know. If you want to be, you know, a great chef, if you want to, you know, do anything, be a sommelier in the food industry, restaurateur, you know, you can make a great living and you can have fun and you can meet good people and all those things. And but if your aspirations are as high as to cook at Chili's, and that's the ultimate level of it,
fuck yourself.
You're not really a cook, man. You know, I mean, because no one can, you know, have self respect and still cook that many things.
Well, I don't think anybody there's kidding themselves.
I hope not.
Into thinking that they're like. I don't feel anybody's like bright-eyed going into Chili's in that interview and being like, gosh, Mr. Chili's, just give me a chance. I'll make it. And then it like beats them down into submission. And now they're like, I just work at Chili's. You know, I used to think Chili's was going to be my home away from home. And I was going to be creating so many wonderful dishes. And then and then that goddamn combo platter, and everything's in a fucking bag, and the burgers are frozen, and the buns come from some place in Indonesia. Like, I thought it was gonna be making sauces. You know, I don't think anybody's running into Chili's thinking that's happening.
I'd like to apply here at Chili's, please. Yes, I've worked in the Azur Hotel in Paris, France. I was a saucier. I'm looking for a position that really fulfills me. And it makes me feel as though, you know, I'm
utilizing. I brought my own tweezers.
Yeah, exactly.
From a garnishing.
Yeah, I don't think you need to garnish anything with tweezers at
I think it's just a hearty handful of chopped green onion.
You will need those tweezers, though, for when you drop that piece of chicken in between the two refrigerators. So definitely bring the tweezers if you do work.
You need the tweezers to give to the fucking person at the table so they can tweeze out the fucking hair that's in their salad or their burger.
Now, you know, what do you think is worse? Do you think that, I heard that Anthony Bourdain, number one, his biggest fear was eating at Chili's. He hated Chili's. Yeah, it was just, he hated Chili's.
Wasn't it any Guy Fieri restaurant?
Yeah, I don't know, you know.
Which is, I think those are basically Chili's.
Exactly.
Guy Fieri might as well be Chili's.
He's made of Chili's, definitely. Yeah, whatever's inside that guy is.
Guy Fieri is a Voltron of multiple Chili's.
There's no bones in there.
Fucking fall together and created this fucking flavor town mascot.
Oh yeah, he's just made of chicken strips, actually.
His internal organs fucking sewn together chicken strips.
That hair and is a shredded lettuce. Onion
for the heart. that's Outback. They're fucking terrible too.
Yeah, man. You know, the thing is, you know, the food world, man. It's transforming. You know, we no longer, you know, take real pride and have mom and pop restaurants. You know, we invent a fake mom and pop to look like they're at the restaurant. Like
that's back to Popeyes. I know, that fucking black lady.
I'm your Aunt Betty here. Come on down to Popeyes.
My chicken is the best. Like, does it have to be a black lady? Because the actual lady that cooks all that fucking chicken is some large white woman.
Sure.
Like, couldn't they just put her in the fucking video?
That doesn't really matter.
Like, do people really gotta be like, my fried chicken needs to be come from a black lady from the South?
That makes me feel better about it.
Like, I need Aunt Jemima in that motherfucking bottle. I need a fucking black lady cooking my fucking chicken. Like, that's racist as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, you can't see that commercial and not be like, that's racist.
Yeah.
Because it is. Because she has nothing to do with cooking that fucking chicken. Nothing. She's not the fucking chicken lady. But they hired this black lady to be the fucking chicken lady.
And, you know, she must feel pretty bad about it, too. Because, I mean, obviously, they're probably paying her a lot of money to be the spokesperson. Money, I would do the same, you know. But
I'll sell the fuck out. I've said it many times. I don't give a shit.
Give me a chance.
I have no shame, no morals, no code of conduct, none of that shit.
That's what I like about
you. Well, I do have a code of conduct. I believe in shit being fair.
Sure.
Fucked up. It still has to be fair. You want to fuck with me? I'm going to fuck with you. I don't fuck with people much. You know what I mean? But, like I always say, too, is that I'm not an asshole for no reason. I don't go out of my way to be a dick. Nope. But I will sell the fuck out for some money. Mm-hmm. Because I got a fucking family to support.
That's it, man.
And I have expensive hobbies.
Sure.
And that's about it. Yeah. I like buying stuff.
So yeah. My hobbies include getting naked and thigh deep in tofu.
Ooh.
Very expensive hobby.
Wait, yeah. So silken tofu, or is it like the curd firm. Left over? Oh, firm. Yeah, firm. Oh, that's hard. You gotta wedge yourself in there.
Hey, it's just cradles.
It's like the foam pit at one of those bouncy places.
That's the most disgusting place on earth, that's for sure.
What are
the ball bits? There's still a couple kids who, just still at the corpses. Bottom. Yeah. Just sink down to the balls. Liquefied
corpses of small children. Have you been to that fucking trampoline place?
I have not.
Oh. I want to take the kids. I think the girls would really like that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's always like, it's so fucking expensive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I always look and I'm like, is it worth it? It's like $15 for half an hour or like $30 for half an hour or some shit like that. Wow. And I'm like, what sucked was that fucking Pups Hawaii. You've heard of that? It's called Pups of War. It didn't suck. It's a good concept and the kids fucking loved it. The pricing is a little fucking ridiculous. So it's an indoor, they took over one of the Pearl Ridge shops. Like it used to be, I think it used to be a jewelry store or some shit. They took it over, and what it is they built an indoor, like, town, it looks like it's a fake set. And you go in there, and for a price, you get to run around and shoot fucking Nerf guns at each other. You know what I mean? The fucking Nerf guns. And so we get there, I take the fucking kids in, and they're like, oh, Pops of War is going to be so fun. And I think I'm going to go in with them, because I want to shoot them. Shooting the kids is hilarious. It's fucking great. You know, you pop off those fucking foam darts in their face. It's fucking good times. You get there, and they have like three price packages. It's like this time limit, and this style of gun, this time limit, and this style of gun. You know, and so I get like the mid-grade one, and it's like, I think it's like $20 a person, and you get like an hour or some shit. But then you gotta buy fucking socks. Like their Pups of War
special
official socks, where they're just like those non-slip socks. You know, those stupid things like your grandma would do for Christmas? Wears.
Yeah.
That like you don't slip on the floor?
Yep.
I'm like, you couldn't have just, like, couldn't we just brought our own? And then the other thing was that they didn't have my size because I got these fucking gigantic feet. And they're like, well, here's these large. And I'm like, this doesn't even fit on the front of my foot, let alone encompass my entire foot. So I couldn't even go in with them now.
Really?
Because I couldn't wear the fucking socks. Meanwhile, it's like, it's not like a fucking freshly waxed wood floor that's in there. It's like the foam, squishy playroom material, which is like not slippery at all. And I'm guessing it might be just a hygiene thing where they want you to have socks on and not sweaty feet. But I mean, come on, dude. Because it's fucking gross anyways, no matter which way you dice it. Yeah, socks or not.
Don't be licking that foam down there.
Fuck no. But anyway, so, I mean, it was fun for the kids, but it's kind of a pain in the ass. Like, just let us bring our own socks. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. You know, when we were young, we had that thing, Discovery Zone. Did you hear Discovery Zone?
Yeah, we had Discovery Zone.
Discovery Zone was a pretty good concept. I think they started losing money and eventually had to close, like, a lot of their locations. Maybe they still have a couple. If you're out there, Discovery Zone, have fun. But, you know, dude, I mean, I remember being a kid, and we had some good damn times in that thing, you know? Running around and climbing up.
Yeah, it was like science-based.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff.
Yeah, had a good time, man. There's some, you know, games. It's a very wholesome place, you know. Not like that damn bastard Chuck E. Cheese, you know, I mean.
That place is gross.
Just trying to extract, you know, capital from you in there, you know, with all these games.
They don't have ball pits anymore.
They don't even have the animatronic things anymore, you know. It's
the one in Pearl Ridge does.
Oh, really?
Or not Pearl Ridge, IAO, whatever.
Oh, okay.
Over there. I mean, I don't think they work.
Yeah.
They're just like,
oh, yeah, just fried.
They just like wiggle back and forth.
Man.
While the fucking video plays.
Couldn't think of something more creepy than that, but old school animatronics, you know?
Like the Bear Jamboree.
Yeah, animatronics, you know, it's okay. It's still not scary.
No.
I mean, I went recently to Universal Studios, and I went on the Jurassic Park ride. Oh. And, you know, you see all that stuff, you're like, yeah, it's still not really that scary, you know?
Yeah, I don't get people that, like, it's like, it's not real. Like,
it's robot. Obviously not a dinosaur. I mean, they died.
It's not even like a robot, really. It's just like a machine. Yeah. Like, it's just like, it doesn't have any thought capability. It's just like a like hydraulic powered fucking mechanism.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. That's all it does.
Like, leaves out when we look and dies.
I'll tell you, you know, some of the rides, too, they used to be, I think, a lot more fun. Like, I know at Disney World, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean. I think it's
an age thing, too, where you're like, I mean, there's some people that go all the time. They're our age, and they're like, I fucking love it. I love Disneyland. Like,
yeah.
It's so real for me. But then other times, I think it's just like most people are like, it was cool when you were a kid, but now, like, it doesn't hold up. The magic is gone for some time, you know, like.
Disney World is definitely not the happiest place on Earth. I mean.
No.
You know, it's definitely one of the most expensive places on Earth. I mean, you can just go burn cash on nothing.
Corn dogs.
And time. You know, stand here in this line. You know, you have 5 days in a place, right? Stand here in this line for 3 hours to ride one ride for 2.5 minutes. Then when you get done, go over here and stand in this ride for 2 minutes, 2 hours, and then ride that for 2 minutes, you know? Man, what a That's model that is. That's why you
need to go for 5 days.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they really figured that out. But now, you know, everything's 3D. I went on the Harry Potter ride. If you're at all prone to motion sickness in any way, don't even go near the damn Harry Potter ride. The castle is pretty cool. You know, the fact that they built that whole thing and it's like a castle inside is pretty trippy. But
I want to go see that.
But going on that stuff. On that ride where the thing just spins you around in a circle 150 times, you know, I don't know. You know, and it's all 3D too. So even if you close your eyes, I mean, you're still, you know, getting spun around at a crazy pace. I mean, so
it's just them spinning you in a circle.
If fucking Harry Potter was that good on a fucking broom, he would have been a goddamn astronaut. He wouldn't have been a fucking wizard, you know. There's no way. He'd
magic some balloon of air around his face and flown to the moon.
I mean, fuck, you take a kid in the back seat of a car, you know, barf all over it. I mean, when you're thinking you could take some kid and you're going to put him on a broom and he's going to be doing 360s up there, you know, his inner ear is.
Are you actually on a broomstick?
It makes you look like you're on kind of one because that's how the 3D thing works. You're sitting on like a chair.
Oh.
And it's like a chair, like from the castle. It's pretty trippy. And then you're following Harry Potter and then. You know,
I thought maybe you were like on like a replica,
and then it has
of the thing, and you were like flying through the air like Harry Potter, man. It's fucking cool, dude.
No, that might be cooler, you know. But then they
you're
have
sitting in a
that,
chair, yeah, and they're have, making you pretend you're on a wheel, on a broom.
And then they spray water at you in the thing, and then they also
so it's technically
blow a giant
4D
heat at you too. So, so you're getting all fucked up in there.
You're getting like,
yeah.
Sprayed and
I wasn't sure if I was on a Navy SEAL training course or the Harry Potter ride, you know. But
I don't think you would have survived.
There was like a Navy plus, SEAL. You know, in Japan, they're yelling at you in Japanese, so you don't know what they're really, you know, talking about when they're yelling at you.
Was Harry Potter in Japanese?
Yeah, it's in Osaka, yeah.
What was that? He's like, oh, Hermione-san.
I'll tell you what, Spider-Man is way more intense in Japanese, man. You know, Spider-Man and all those characters, man, they sound pretty angry in Japanese.
You know what, though? Is it... So, here's the thing. So, we went to the North Shore Shrimp Trucks yesterday. Oh, wow. Got a little Thumies action, because that's the best
that's
one.
The re- that's real, the real...
It's so good.
Real shrimps.
The other stuff is... Like, Giovanni's? Fucking trash.
Yeah.
Come at me, bro. I fucking dare you. That shrimp is trash.
Aaron dies in a fiery crash tonight from the Giovanni's president.
Fuck them. On his way home. I'll fucking go toe-to-toe with those. Yeah. I will, having never made garlic shrimp, will make garlic shrimp, and it will be better than theirs. Theirs is greasy trash.
Wow.
Most of them are. And there's another place closer to the sugar mill that's also greasy trash, which might be Giovanni's too. It might be the same fucking company. Disgusting. If you put a fucking batter on a fish, any kind of panko-style thing... It better be fucking crispy. I don't want wet gloop.
Nope.
That's not... Don't even fucking fry it. Saute that shit. Basically, what you got is wet gremolata on some fucking greasy shrimp. Anyways, Fumi's is the best. Big scrumps, fresh, delicious. But we're up there, and there's a fucking Japanese family. Like, six of them. Three kids, three adults. Maybe there's another adult, like a grandma and a grandpa and a mom and a dad and a sister and all that shit. They're so fucking loud.
Really?
Now, I don't know if it's that hey, we are speaking another language. It doesn't matter what we say because nobody fucking understands us anyway. So I can just talk like this. Who gives a fuck? You know what I mean?
Hmm.
I don't know if it's that kind of thing they're feeling, that it doesn't matter to the level and I don't have to give a shit about who's sitting near me because I'm speaking a different language, so they can't understand me anyway. So I can be as loud as I want, which is not really the point. It's that you're disturbing me in any fashion. Like, you can bring it down a notch.
Hmm.
And shut the fuck up. Like, we move tables because I'm like, I'm not fucking sitting next to these people. Like, it's annoying as fuck.
Are you sure they were Japanese?
Oh, they were Japanese.
Hmm. That's rare, you know, because most Japanese people are very polite.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is the problem I have, is that anytime I interact with Japanese people, terrible.
Hmm.
They're fucking terrible. But everybody's like, oh, they're so beautiful. They're beautiful people. They're so nice. I'm not saying I'm racist against Japanese people. I don't give a shit. I don't care about anybody.
Yeah.
It could be African people or Irish people or whatever. The way they're acting is not polite in any way, in any fashion, in my personal interactions with them. And so I'm wondering, is this just like vacation Japanese? They're just like, fuck it. Vacation, what? And they act all stupid? Or because everybody's always like, oh, when I went to Japan, they're so nice. But it's like, maybe it's because they're in Japan. And they're like frat boy fucking assholes when they're like on vacation. But I don't know.
Man.
That's just me. And this is what I'm telling you. I don't give a shit what you say on the podcast.
Yeah.
Because it don't matter.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, dude.
hey man,
talking about that garlic shrimps, man. I'll tell you what, I went to Asahi Grill the other day.
This one,
and
by
it's
Ward?
Only on Saturday. Yeah, the one by Ward, and I that's their special on Saturday.
Garlic
and
shrimp.
They're the Kauai shrimp, yeah. Mm. And I'll tell you what, probably one of the best damn garlic shrimp plates I ever had.
Nice.
I mean, the scrimps were very big. It was a huge portion.
Yeah,
plenty of nice sauce on it. Everything. Had it been de-skinned, it would have been my perfect scrimps. However, it was very close. It was very close.
Oh, you don't say. I fucking
some people like
I fucking eat the shells.
I like them if they're a little bit crispier. But these were very thick.
Oh,
so like, these were big scrimps.
Those like plasticky shells.
One of them might have been a lobster. I don't know.
A langostino.
Yeah, langostino.
It was a prawn.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like, shrimp are some interesting creatures, man. You know, if you really think about it. They're basically all meat. You know, if you were made of all meat.
We're basically all meat.
Well, kind of, but like you got bones.
I mean, they're
like, you got all
bugs,
kinds of stuff in them.
But they're bugs. I mean, it's like
basically
it's
mud like cockroaches. Bugs. And, yeah, cockroaches of the sea.
And they have an exoskeleton and the rest
of
them is meat.
Or whatever, you know, yeah. But I mean, if you really think about it, like they're just one big muscle, you know, and that's pretty impressive, you know. Yeah.
I made the international sign for shrimp.
Yeah, that is the international sign. For shrimp.
Where can I get
yes. Everyone knows what you're talking about.
You know, and if you don't know, well.
Yeah. You gotta love communication between, you know, people who don't speak the same language, you know, and there's certain things I think that are just inherent, like motions that mean something.
Yeah.
You know. And I can just imagine the signs that I'm making right now, you know, all the different
you're not moving at all. Oh.
You know exactly what these signs
sign
mean.
For the magician's handkerchief thing?
Yes, that's the magician's handkerchief. Yeah. it's amazing. I mean, I study a lot of language stuff, you know, etymology, where these words come from and how they're built.
Somebody
up
tried to tell me that word, meaning they said their friend worked with bugs and he was an entomologist.
Well, entomology is different than etymology. Yeah, you know, it's like a totally different thing. But yeah, some people, I met a kid the other day who was really into entomology, actually. He was really into, you know, studies of bugs and everything. And
my Jewish aunt think that just means you like the entomans,
yeah,
which is the best baked goods you can buy in a box.
Hey, listen, if you find yourself an Entenmann's,
you know
Entenmann's,
right?
You get yourself a cheese Danish, you know what I mean? Oh, you never had an Entenmann's cheese Danish?
I had a fucking aunt.
We interrupt this regularly scheduled program to bring you a promo spot for the W-Files.
How do you feel about witches? How about aliens? Or maybe some messed up government experiments?
If you have a fascination with the weird, wild, wacky, or just downright what the things that go on in this world of ours, then you've come to the right place.
Join us on Tuesdays when we discuss all of this and more on the W-Files Podcast.
To listen and find out more, you can pop on over to our website at wfilespodcast.com.
Adieu, W crew.
Who literally, one of the cupboards, like your size cupboards right here?
Sure.
That's all I had in it.
Intimates.
Was fucking Intimates.
Yeah. Was that my grandma?
No, it was my aunt.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah.
Your aunt's not my grandma.
No. Right. You never know.
I mean, hey.
You're younger than me.
Aren't you my cousin? Yeah. Wait. Did I see you at the family reunion?
Wait a second.
It's all
we was
together,
holding
man.
Shiva for Uncle Shmuley.
Yeah.
And you was there, but you didn't have the beard.
That was me. I used to have the curls.
Yeah.
You know, a good Jewish joke, and you only get this joke if you're Jewish. You know, if you're not Jewish, you won't get it. But two Gentile businessmen pass each other on the street. And one Gentile businessman turns to the other and he says, "Hey, how's business?" And the Gentile businessman, he says, "It's great." That's the end of the joke.
And for all you Gentiles out there.
For all you nice Gentiles.
Gentiles means non-Jewish people. Yeah.
You know. Always like to throw a good Gentile joke in there, you know.
Because a Jew, that would have been a longer conversation.
Exactly. Yeah,
if you ask him how's business, oi.
Oi, exactly.
Settle in, get a knish and a cup of coffee because you're going to be there for a while.
Hey, you know, recently I go to the deli / bagel bakery on Cook Street, right by where the Beer Works is and stuff. This is it, yeah. What a great name for a place. This is it.
Where are you? You're it.
Yeah,
is it.
Sometimes I tell people, hey, what's the name? This is it. They're like, what the hell are you talking about? No, this is it. That's the name of the place, you know.
Who's on first?
Who's on first? Vaudeville. All comes together. But the lady who works there, super nice. I don't know if it's her place. I would assume so because she's just fucking working all the time in there. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've talked to the guy. We actually
buy some bagels.
I got hot dog buns.
Oh, nice.
For a special.
They have a beautiful bakery in the back. I mean, it's really big.
That's all it is, basically. That counter front is terrible.
Yeah, it's not. You know, they have just big paper things over where the menu used to be.
It's like a cafeteria.
Yeah, I used to go in there to get a liverwurst sandwich, but they don't have liverwurst, and I never got it because I was the only person who ever got a liverwurst sandwich there, apparently. Yeah,
the Jews don't do so well in the island life.
No, but it's okay. Hey, you know, there's old Udi Weinbaum.
Yeah,
you know,
there's a plug going?
For Udi Weinbaum if you're out there listening, Udi.
If you need yourself Orthodox, some of the finest kosher meals.
Kosher foods.
For all your high holiday needs,
yeah.
You go see Udi.
Udi.
You got a business meeting and one of you guys is a fakakta fucking kosher guy that you gotta fucking fuck up all your shit for? You go see Udi. He's gonna fucking give you that kosher meal.
Udi's gonna take care of you. But I go to This Is It, and, you know, their bagels are very good. Their lox.
Are they better than.
Bagels is good.
Better lox of bagels?
Better than lox of bagels, 100%. They are better.
Do you think he boils them?
He must, I would say. He also makes bialys, which is interesting.
Nobody makes bialys.
I know. So he's making a real thing. And then this is the kicker. You ready? They also make knishes.
Get the fuck out of here.
They have a knish. Would you believe they have a knish?
I don't fucking believe it.
And, you know.
What's in the knish?
I hadn't seen a knish since way back.
I haven't seen a knish.
It's potatoes.
Well, but these got stuff. That's it.
It's like potatoes wrapped in phyllo dough with a little bit of.
He's putting in a phyllo dough. It's not. That's not how it goes.
It's not really like a phyllo dough.
It should be.
It's like a puff pastry kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like a. But it's more of like a pie crust.
Yes, it's very similar to a pie crust, but it's a little bit flakier. So that's why.
That's good.
Yeah, it's very nice. It comes raging hot to you. So wait a minute or so before it. Cools down, you know, but you dip in a little bit of whole grain mustard, and let me tell you, you got yourself a nice little snack.
Now, if you got a little beef or sweetheart, now that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's the fucking mustard.
I know.
That I love.
Yeah. Well,
so much with the Jew food.
You know, I will tell you that this guy over here, you know, he probably makes some of the best mustard sauces that I've ever had, as
Does
well
he
as.
Does he make the mustard sauces?
You know, yeah, he makes the mustard sauce or whatever it's in, you know. But.
I haven't had a knish. In a long time. You know what else I haven't had in a long time? A motherfucking mishmash. Mm. Which is always good.
Yeah,
and I don't like fucking soup. I'm not a soup guy. But I fucks with a mishmash. Because for all you unknown out there, A mishmash is basically chicken noodle soup, but you get a matzo ball, and you get a kreplach, which a kreplach is a Jewish soup dumpling, which makes sense for you Hawaiian people out here, and all you other cultures that know what a soup dumpling is. Basically, they take that dough of like a dumpling dough, fill it with leftover brisket or pastrami or whatever, chopped meats, make that into like a triangle shape, boiled in the soup. So mishmash is you get one or two. You can get just kreplach soup and you can get just matzo ball soup. But for those of you in the know, you get a mishmash. Because it's the best of both worlds. Get a fucking matzo and you get a fucking kreplach.
Exactly.
The one Jew food I don't like is kishka. Never been a fan of that, which is basically like multi-grain sausage.
Yeah.
Not so great.
You ever heard the song?
What?
You ever heard the song?
The kishka song?
Who stole the kishka? Who stole the kishka? Who stole the kishka? Someone called the cop. Yeah. Turns it
Klezmer music background.
We'll turns put that it in that post. Turns out that the kishka was never stolen. It was actually there the whole time. And someone just overlooked the kishka. So if you ever get a chance. And you guys can check out the song of Who Stole the Kishka, one of my favorites.
Put out an album
Frank
of
Yankovic.
Klezmer. Frank Yankovic?
Frank Yankovic,
not
yeah.
Weird Al?
He is Weird Al's grandpa.
Oh.
That's where Weird Al got all the weirdness from.
That's where he got all the accordion skills. And
Frank Yankovic and his Yanks. He was a big band leader and... they had a lot
my
of
grandpa
songs,
was in a big
know?
Band. He was really? A big Jew.
Oh, wow.
Huge Jew. Finger wave Jew.
Oh, what did he play?
Drums.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All that kind of shit.
Nice.
That's like my favorite part. That's the only real funny part, I think, of Pineapple Express. Well, that movie's funny, but that beginning with Bill Hader and they're doing the weed tests.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, oh, man, it's like, oh, and then he starts fucking doing the drum. I fucking love Bill Hader.
I do,
he's
too.
Fucking hilarious.
Bill Hader is actually one of my favorite dudes.
Oh, yeah.
And I like a lot of his characters that he does. He's pretty entertaining.
Super. Do you get the HBOs?
I don't get the HBOs. I get the Stars. You know, it's the bastard of all of the... the premium
that's
channels.
The redheaded stepchild.
Yeah, I don't know how I channels. Even got Stars. You know, I don't know if they
I
just
think they
throw
just
it
give
in there.
It away now.
Just give it away now, huh?
They're like, you want Stars?
Yeah.
They're like, no. They're like, but we give you Stars.
Yeah, and I always see.
But there's nothing on Stars.
Like, and you can always see, you know,
the only
HBO
thing good about Stars is that American Gods. That's pretty good.
Oh, really? Yeah. I never watched that show. I heard about
it's,
that.
It's based on a Neil Gaiman book. Who's one of my favorite writers. He's a good guy. I mean, I don't know if he's a good guy. I'm sure he's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Speaking of writers, what do you think about that guy, M. Night Shyamalan?
Well...
Now, we're getting up to Halloween. Like, is there an M. Night Shyamalan movie like that isn't scary?
Because, that like, isn't scary?
Well, none of them are scary.
None of them are scary
at all, but the guy seems to keep making movies and everything, so someone must like these movies, you know?
I mean, he does a good movie. I think he's getting a little... kind of out... not out there, but I think it's just kind of lost its luster.
Yeah.
And for me, I kind of started, like, Lady in the Lake, that was okay, but it wasn't that great.
Like that guy, you know, from Key and Peele.
Mm-hmm. Jordan Peele.
Yeah, Jordan Peele. I wasn't sure if it was Key or Peele, one of them.
It was Peele.
Yeah, Peele. It was good.
But Get Out.
But, yeah, sorry, Key. You haven't been doing well. You've just been doing those progressive commercials or whatever.
He's pretty funny,
doing,
though. You
know? Oh, yeah. He did well Predators. At Key and Peele.
He was in The Predator.
Oh, wow.
That new one that came out not too long ago, and he does stuff. But
you know, was it Jordan Peele? Right?
Jordan Peele.
Yeah, Jordan Peele, man, you know, he came out right out of the gate, did that horror movie, you know, Us, right?
Get Out. That Get was out. The first one. He did do Us.
Oh,
that
okay,
was the
yeah,
second
yeah.
one.
But Us really came out and blew it up, you know?
Yeah, I think Get Out did better, though.
Oh, really?
I think that Get Out, he got like, it was like, holy shit, this comedian can write horror. Oh, and it's like such a unique voice. And then he did Us, and I think people were like expecting him to do another
Get Out,
and it was so different that they were like,
oh.
It was good, but that's not what I wanted. Yeah. You know how people are with movies, and it's like, you know, go fuck yourself.
Yep, you know, that's the thing. People are very finicky. I actually went to see Ad Astra the other day.
Oh, yeah. With, I've been hearing mixed reviews.
And, yeah.
Good old Brad. You guys go way back.
We go way back, actually. You know? We go way back to
Fight Club?
Before Brangelina.
Thelma and Louise. You knew him, Thelma and Louise, Brad Pitt?
Yeah, no, I knew him from back in, you know, Who's Eating Gilbert Grape, you know? He was the mentally handicapped guy.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Oh, wait, that was Leo.
Stupid.
You know, it's pretty interesting, you know, Brad Pitt and Leo now, you know, they're kind of like friends, and you see them next to each other, and they're starting to turn into the same person. You know, they're aging, and they're looking more and more alike, you know?
You know what's crazy? Mm-hmm. Speaking of famous people that look alike, if you look at a young photo, I just forgot his name. God damn it, I always do this. My fucking brain just like stutters. I can see his face. I can see his fucking, you know, he was in fucking everything. He's in like every fucking Coen Brothers movie. So in The Big Lebowski, he was the little dude bowler.
Little dude bowler?
Yeah, like, you know, the guy, the one that dies and he fucking scatters ashes. Oh,
Steve Buscemi.
Yes. So
if you guys, Buscemi, another tidbit about Steve Buscemi, if you ever want to remember, he got stabbed in front of a bar in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's called Fire Belly.
I'm supposed to remember that.
That's pretty interesting. You know, that's like stabbed.
The onomatopoeia or whatever. That's like my little fucking trigger word. Yeah. Like, got stabbed.
Yeah, he got stabbed in the gut outside of a bar that's called Fire Belly. I mean, that's just, you know, quite ironic almost.
I guess.
You know, you want some Fire Belly? Boom.
Knife hot?
Probably, you know. But that's Steve Buscemi. Sorry, Steve, if you're listening, but. Yeah, I'm sure that was a very painful memory for you, dude. I don't know what the hell you were doing in there anyway.
Oh, Steve Buscemi is totally.
I mean, they had burritos, and that was it, you know.
But if you look at a picture of young Steve Buscemi, mm-hmm. and a picture of young Angelina Jolie, they could be related.
Oh wow, yeah, for sure.
Pretty creepy. Have you seen that?
Same cheekbone structure.
You're fucking weird.
Isn't Steve Buscemi? He plays Maleficent, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not him.
It is him. He plays it when she changes into the dragon.
Oh, okay.
Which made me pissed off that she didn't turn into the dragon in that fucking movie.
I just thought that Angelina Jolie was pretty cool. You know, like, she seemed like she was such a cool chick. You know, she was, you know, drinking Billy Bob Thornton's blood, you know, keeping it around her neck and stuff. You know, she was into some weird stuff. You know, she had some big daddy issues, you know, from her dad, John Voight, you know, who, you know, John Voight's claim to fame is basically Anaconda. You know, he was in Anaconda.
You don't think it was Deer Hunter?
Well, I mean, back in the day, maybe, you know. But after about 20 years, you know, it just starts to
fade. Wait, wasn't he in... He was in Deliverance, too, wasn't he? John Voight?
Maybe, I don't know. You know?
Fucking Anaconda.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, but the point is that Angelina Jolie, you know, she seemed, you know, pretty cool. Was a cool chick. And, you know, then, you know, Brad hooked up with her, and that's cool.
She stole him from Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, you know, I can appreciate that. But then, you know, who knows? I mean, I guess Brad was having some rough times. You know, doing the old sauce, drinking the old sauce. And that's alcohol, that's booze.
I was like, was he? Sauce. I don't remember. Did he have?
That's what apparently happened. You know, he had a little meltdown on a plane with kids. And,
oh.
Yeah, that's what.
He's not the perfect Greek god we all think he is,
exactly.
Huh?
These are just real people, man. They're not, you know.
You mean I shouldn't base my whole life on all the stuff they do? It shouldn't be my moral compass and everything?
I don't think so.
No, it's not.
It's amazing that many people do, though.
Yeah, it's stupid. We talk about that all the time. It's just like, why do you fucking care so much about these people?
Why do you?
And, like, you just want to build them up just because it's fun to watch them fucking fall down.
Perhaps.
You know, like, everybody's like, leave him alone, they're so special. And then they're like, oh, wait, he fucking jerks off with pantyhose over his head to pictures of people bending over and with their buttholes exposed. And they're like, ugh, villain. And you're like, what? I'm like, just because their jerk-off regimen is cooler than yours doesn't mean you gotta fucking, you know, lambast them for the fucking, you know, like, just let them fucking jerk off how they want to jerk
just
off.
Just because he's into some cool stuff.
Just because his kings are way cooler than your shit. Like, I like to stick my dick in marshmallow fluff. Pedestrian, you know, like.
Coincidentally, I have two bottles in the cupboard right here.
Of marshmallow fluff?
Yeah.
Dude, why are we not eating marshmallow fluff?
I know, right?
Oh, you know what? You got to pick something. So we do a segment. It's not really a segment, but I like to say segment.
It can be a segment.
Makes it sound professional. Sure. I tell you. But we'd call it What's in Your Mouth.
Mm.
And where I have a bag of stuff, and you like reach into that bag and pull out something random, and we eat it.
Right.
And talk about it in the microphone.
Oh. There's another thing.
You should
like
go
that.
Into your cupboard and randomly fish around for something. We'll eat it. Or in your fridge or something. This is the first time we've had access to refrigeration.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if anybody can tell, but we're like indoors now.
Yeah.
This is like
Hold
the second
level.
Episode that hasn't been fucking recorded in an alley. The first episode is the one I did with my kids.
Oh, nice.
We did an episode. Because they wanted to do a fucking mukbang. And so I was like, okay, we'll do a fucking mukbang.
We'll
so my
stuff.
Wife made us dinner of like different things, and
wow.
She went out to have a dinner with her friends, and it was me and the kids, and we mukbanged the night away.
I mukbanged my college dorm room.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Yeah, I will get something here that I can nibble on.
Yeah, you're still being picked up by the mic, so you can talk. Just talk louder.
Hey, you, what should I eat?
I used to eat the Shaolong Bao.
Oh, that's you. That's my neighbor, you. He's
Shit.
He's out in the back over here.
He's so tiny.
Yeah, he's a tiny guy, you know?
Wow.
Hey, I'm not tiny. Don't you get angry at me.
What? What did you say, you?
Hey.
Fuck you. Hey, you. Go fuck yourself. I didn't tell you, we had Gay Hitler on the show the other day.
You had Gay Hitler
on? Oh, man, he was
a
riot.
Is there any other kind of Hitler?
Yeah. He's a good guy. He's a fucking good guy. He's really turning his... He's turned a new leaf. And he's really trying to put the past in the past kind of thing, you know?
I'm really glad he's getting his life together.
Right? You know, it's good to... You know, it's good to see... What is that? All right, so now it's time for What's in Your Mouth? What is it? Ew. What is it?
You got I have to tell?
This is a audio podcast, not a video podcast.
Oh, you guys can't see me?
Oh, your voice is so loud.
I'm nude.
Oh, yeah. Shirtless, at least. But I mean, kind of half shirtless because he's
guys,
so furry.
Do you guys know what it is?
Can you tell by the...
Can you tell? Because they have a game like that on the radio. It's called What is Melee Munching? Melee
Get
upon
the fuck us. Out of there.
You know, 105.1. She eats something every day and she crunches into her mic and people call in and they win something. What is Melee Munching? What is Melee Munching?
Don't do no crossover shit on here. I'm going to fucking edit that out. That's all getting... Get it out of there. Like, no.
Anyway, I'll give you a clue as to what this is. Two or three years ago, we used to stand in line at this place, just awaiting some of their fine confections.
I never did this.
And,
Don't they sell this shit at Costco?
Well, now. Oh, okay. It's Bubby's oh, mochi ice cream, you know? Yes, you can buy it at Costco, you can buy it all these places.
Bubby's
but
mochi ice cream.
At one time, it was a tangible place you could go to, and now it's called Cream and Roll, you know?
Oh, yeah. That thing is... Does it really...
Not really the same.
So, mochi ice cream is a Japanese confection that is like glutinous rice. What would you call it? It's glutinous rice pudding. Not pudding, but like... It's almost like a dough.
Yeah, it's almost like a nice sweet dough.
Bash the shit out of fucking rice until it becomes...
Mochigo flour.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you do the rice and you just beat it until it's fucking... They got machines now. Have you seen those machines?
Oh, yeah.
They're fucking... It just rolls rice. Basically, if you took a bowl of cooked rice and put it on a fucking table and beat the shit out of it and folded it for hours, it would become this gummy, almost... doughy texture, and then that is mochi, and then they flavor them, or sometimes they just fill that dough with something like peanut butter, or in this case, ice cream. Yeah, they do ice cream and stuff like that.
If you've never had mochi, and you like things that are good.
If you like chewy noodles.
Yeah, if you like, you know.
Or a mouthful of chewy rice.
That's the thing, man. I mean, I actually eat a lot of Asian foods.
You know? Yeah.
I don't eat a whole lot of, you know, traditional American staples, you know. And that's okay, you know, because I'm not made of French fries, you know. I don't even know why our American food is called French fries. That doesn't even make sense. Freedom fries, goddammit! You know? Can't change that after all this time, you know? Fries. It's too late, dude.
Freedom fries are stupid.
Yeah. Whatever happened to the French, man? You know, after Napoleon, just... have you seen their...
That's a lot of history between Napoleon and now. You don't think nothing's changed?
I don't know.
Ah, the French. What have they ever done?
Yeah, what have they done for us lately?
Those yellow belly sons of bitches.
Yeah.
I mean, their baked goods are second to none.
I know. Their Napoleon is amazing.
Yeah, we just had snow puffies last night.
Oh, snow puffies, good. Yeah.
That's kind of like a Napoleon.
It is. Basically. It's very much, yeah. Yeah, the snow puffies, the thing about snow, did you eat them outside? Right outside the place, or did you take them home?
Took them home.
Did you? The one thing about snow puffies, and that I've learned,
they don't last long.
They don't last long. You got to eat them right out of the fridge. You know, right out of the fridge, right there. They're the freshest and the best. We ate them like
an hour and a half later. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah,
but I mean, a day later, you're.
Yeah, I eat them. I eat them right out of the fridge as soon as I buy them. Mm-hmm. They give them to me. I eat them right outside. I'm covered in powdered sugar. I have powdered sugar throughout my beard, everywhere. Yeah. And
it basically people looks are like looking a Coke at me. Den mm-hmm. exploded on your face when you eat one of these things.
I like to keep up that appearances, you know.
To your crackhead?
No, you know. Sometimes I like to walk down the street and just mumble to myself as people walk by me just to trip them out, you know. just so they think I'm like some sort of homeless, crazy person, you know. Because
you got the look.
I have the look to create. Exactly. You know, it's kind of like method acting. You know, you gotta take some time and do some character development, you know.
I didn't shower today. I'm not putting on a shirt. I'm walking barefoot downtown.
Yeah.
I'm in it, bitch.
Life goals. Hashtag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hashtag blessed.
Yeah, man. I'm amazed that I like to listen to the homeless people on the street and you know, see what they say and see if there's any truth in those crazy ramblings that they have, you know, because you can learn a lot from a crazy person, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
you maybe learn how not to be crazy.
Exactly. You know,
it depends on what they're saying.
Yeah,
I mean, sometimes it's just it is a little useless.
I'll give you an example. I see a homeless guy sometimes, and I've seen him different places. Hala Eva here in town.
Well, they travel.
Oh, they get around, man, you know. So he always has a wetsuit on.
Prepared.
Now, the craziest part is that, you know, if you wore a fucking wetsuit around in the afternoon,
it's hot as fuck.
You'd die. You'd fucking die of heat exhaustion. You'd fall over. You'd be dehydrated.
Like Goldfinger. You'd getting your shit fucking painted shut. Yeah. Your pores. You'd
literally be dead. But this guy, you know, because he's crazy, he somehow can survive, you know, even in this type of condition. Like, it's pretty amazing, man.
It's like, got a bunch of holes in it.
No, it appears to be in decent shape of a wetsuit, you know. Even if it was, had a couple holes in it, it would only air out that part, you know. It sucks to your skin and everything. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty form-fitting.
I've never actually worn a wetsuit.
Yeah, but he also has a helmet on, so I don't know what the helmet's for. But the point is that...
Head protection.
A person. You know, your mind is a powerful thing, man. It can even prevent you from, you know, in this case, overheating, you know, your organs and cooking them, you know. And I've seen the guys
just in the water a lot and you don't see it.
I've seen the guys sitting out in the blazing sunshine, dude, in the middle of nowhere. You know, I've never seen him get in the ocean, you know. This ain't, you know, I've been studying this guy, man. You know, I've been fucking taking,
your graduate school thesis on this fucking guy.
My doctoral dissertation, dude, is all on this type of stuff. So I
just, homeless man in wetsuits.
Yeah, just follow these motherfuckers around, you know. Yeah, it's always interesting to see.
Maybe he's got some kind of body chemistry that would like change science forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nobody's ever going to know because he's fucking homeless and crazy.
Exactly. He's the cure to the zombie apocalypse, but no one has any idea. You know, we got to get some of this empirical data and this research out there, man.
Yeah.
It's very important shit.
Let's capture it. Let's set up a trap.
Let's go throw a net on
it. Like one of those giant boxes with the stick, yeah. And we'll put a pizza under there and like yank it shut when he's like.
Yeah, we can just catch him, you know.
Like with a Tom and Jerry style.
Croutons, just put some croutons down, you know.
No. Fucking trail leading back to a fucking cage. Yeah.
No, actually, he probably wouldn't go for the croutons. You know, you can only catch, I think, white women with croutons. You know.
No, that low carb shit. They're not gonna.
Oh man, yeah.
They're gonna.
Keto's really fucked that up.
You might need like a some kind of spiced nut. That would be good. Mm. That would be, and like every other foot. There's like a white wine spritzer or like a hard cider.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Or one of those new things is the alcoholic sparkling waters.
Yeah, spiked seltzers.
Right? Yeah.
Whoever fucking created spiked seltzer, you're a goddamn genius because, you know, you put fucking booze into water, added carbonation, and called it a drink.
Yeah.
You know, and somehow can it. And now there's like a fucking shortage of it.
You basically took what everybody leaves at a bar. Like, this drink sucks now. The ice is all melted.
Yeah.
And it's barely carbonated. I'm done with that. And they're like, hey, let me put that into a fucking can.
Yeah.
And sell it to white people.
Throw some blueberry in there. Because
I guarantee you nobody but young white people are drinking that fucking
thing. No.
Nobody.
And, because they're
putting on their fucking Ugg boots. And they're fucking on their way to Starbucks. They're going to spike a seltzer.
Hell yeah.
I take umbrage with that because seltzer is a big part of the Jewish community.
Yeah.
And even though I'm not Jewish by religion, I'm Jew by food. You don't fuck with the seltzer.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have the seltzer when you were growing up?
The seltzer? Oh.
See, my grandma...
All my dad drank was seltzer.
When I went to Grandpa and Grandma's house, my snack was a pretzel rod, which... I would always pretend was a cigar.
Cigar. Classic.
Classic. Suck all the fucking salt off it.
Once in a while, you know, get two, go walrus.
You
know?
Yeah, you go walrus. And then she would take, you betcha. It's you betcha. Chocolate syrup. It's not Hershey's chocolate syrup. It's Jewish chocolate syrup. Mm. An old New York chocolate syrup, which you can get here. I've gotten it here.
Mm. You betcha.
It's either You Bet or You Betcha. One of those two. But it's got like a little kid on the thing. Mm. It's different. It's not as sweet.
Mine was always Bosco. Hershey.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That is so... But that's more... That's a malt.
Ah.
The Bosco, which is super good. But then, so you put the chocolate syrup in the glass, and then you fill it up with seltzer.
Oh, egg cream.
But that was, it was just seltzer and the chocolate syrup. That's all she did. It was like a virgin egg cream, even though there's no alcohol in egg cream. But
soda jerks used to make that kind of stuff.
If you do soda and chocolate syrup, it gives you that same, like Coke and chocolate syrup.
Mm.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Do you have chocolate syrup?
No.
Ah, fuck.
Sorry,
dude. You got Coke. I was going to say you got chocolate syrup.
Yeah, try it all out.
You got seltzer? What do you got? You got like a nice... Thin matzah with some gefilte fish?
Yeah, gefilte.
Ugh, nobody likes gefilte fish.
No.
Fucking fish meatballs.
Yeah. Matzah balls are good, though.
Yes. I am a big fan of the pickled herring and sour cream.
Oh,
that is my joint.
Sure.
That's my fucking jam. So good.
A couple capers, a little red onion in there.
I wish it wasn't so goddamn expensive, though.
Yeah.
I would eat that shit a lot. Because one of those little baby jars... is like $9.
Oh, yeah.
And there's like 12 pieces of fish in it. It's like those little squares. But it's so good. Fuck. Sour cream and pickled fish. Everybody's like, but hey, you go to Sweden, you go to IKEA, and you fucking eat your pickled herring and sour cream.
Yeah.
They know what I'm talking about.
I do love those damn Nordics, man. Nordics are some nice people.
Norwegians?
Well, just people, you know, from the, you know, Nordic area, you know, people from Sweden, people from Norway, people from Finland, you know, Scandinavians, if you will.
Did you watch those, The Midsummer? Horror movie?
No, I heard about
that. The guy that did Hereditary?
No, I didn't get to see that.
It's the second film. It's pretty good.
Really?
Pretty brutal. Man. I enjoyed it.
I actually recently I stopped watching a lot of horror flicks and things that are kind of negative, you know, because we see so many negative things in our life, you know, and if you're not exposed to the negativity, maybe you just you don't really get that in your mind. And everything I turn on, you know, on the TV, man, is like pretty, you know, gory or scary or I know. And that's the thing. People are sometimes like they're more intrigued by that. I'll give you a perfect example. The longest running show on television is
The Simpsons.
No, it's actually Law and Order, Special Victims Unit. So Special Victims Unit, you know, it's about the worst type of crimes, you know, all kinds of sex crimes and murders and, you know, all this different shit.
But it's
shit.
Not just Law and Order in general?
Well, Law and Order went off, so Special Victims is the only one left. Yeah, the original one, Law and Order, went off the air a few years ago. Then they had Criminal Intent, also went off the air.
But it's still all Law and Order.
There's, so it's, you know, so many people. Same like if you
umbrella.
Yeah, if you get so bored that you can't find anything on TV, you can turn Law and Order on. It's on for fucking hours. You know, you can watch it all day, every station. It's, you know.
Turn on the old USA and it's just playing
Law and Order. And you got it, man. You know, I don't know how they built a whole channel off of Law and Order episodes, but good for
them. USA used to be super risque.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, it was like, what would it be now? I don't know if there's any channels like that. Maybe like Fox or FX. Yeah. But USA back in the day, when I was a kid, was like Silk Stockings, which was like a crime show, but kind of sexy.
Yeah, Renegade.
Renegade, which was not sexy. Well, with I guess Lorenzo Lamas. Maybe some people thought it was sexy.
Yeah.
But then they had like the cartoons of the, like they had the fucking, the Jason fucking, yeah, the guy, he was on fucking Seinfeld.
Jason Alexander?
Yeah, he was the fucking duck.
Howard the Duck?
No, not Howard the Duck. But he was like...
That was Howie Mandel.
Duckman.
Oh, Duckman, yeah.
That was on USA?
Yeah.
And it was very like...
Yeah.
Whoa. Holy shit. Like duck sex. Shit like that. And then they had a USA Up All Night.
Yeah.
Where it was... they had that fucking chick. It was this girl who was like one of those B-movie actress with like huge fake tits. And she would be like, USA Up All Night. And like do that kind of thing, and it was like they would play like Skinamaxy type fucking movies, you know, like that, like Cell Block Lust, and it was like all female jail, baby, or like horror-y shit. And then Gilbert Gottfried actually took over. Yeah, you would stay up all night, you know, fucking, you know. But and then it stopped being that. It started being all kinds of weird shit, and now it just plays Law and Order.
That's it. It's a whole channel. But yeah, you know, people love that shit, man. People love Law and Order for some reason. You know, just...
It's also like the true crime and...
Dateline.
Serial killer shit that's been like getting big.
That's the thing. Who and why are you watching shit about a guy who, you know, kills a bunch of people?
See, what I don't get is like, if I think like that, right? If I have those thoughts, but I don't act on them, which I do. Think about killing and mutilation and eating flesh and murdering people and things like that and not actually doing them. I'm like, ooh, he's a fucking sicko.
Yeah.
But these people spend all day long watching true crime, watching murder shows, watching and learning about these serial killers and be like, LMG, can't get enough of fucking Dahmer. Like, hashtag besties. And, like, do all that shit. Yeah. But then you're like, ew, you think about murder? Oh, you want to murder people?
Yeah.
You're fucking weird, bro. And you're like, get to fuck you. You're just a fucking poser then. Like, oh, it interests me. But then, like, either fucking own up to the fact that, like, everybody thinks about killing somebody at some point and it just be normal. Or shut the fuck up. Because you can't be interested in it and then fucking think somebody's a fucking weirdo for actually thinking it.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to live vicariously through that person. Like, I just want to learn everything about them. That doesn't make me a weirdo. Yeah. You're a fucking stalking motherfucker with some hidden agenda. Like, you're a weirdo too. Like, don't fucking play like you're normal just because, like, white wine and murder. Like, that makes it okay. Like, me and my besties. We throw on our snugglies and we get into bed and we watch true crime stuff and we watch murders. Like, oh, what a weirdo. And you're like,
yeah
but you're a fucking weirdo too. Like, what are you fucking... You need a back scratcher. That knife is going to wear out.
Oh, it's okay.
That plastic.
There's billions more.
So far, I've seen him comb his eyebrows, scratch his back, and butter some toast with the same
knife. Hey, man, you know, these fucking single-use plastic knives and forks and shit.
Are we killing the environment, not straws?
Hundreds of well, straws too, you know. We're just creating trillions of these things, you know what I mean? And like, there's no real like
plan. I've got four in my pocket right now.
Yeah, exactly. There's no real plan for them, you know. I pick up a lot of shit out of the ocean just for fun, man, just to
make art.
Get it out of there. You know, I have seen people make art, but, you know, I actually went to Artisan the other day. Got a nice sandwich over there, MW Artisan. How is that?
We keep wanting to go over there, but we never do.
Brandon Lay is the chef person back there, so it's always nice to see his
I saw him at the dim sum place. Is it Radiant?
But he was back there, and
I mean, I'm not
he was slinging, man either, slinging some hash, you know?
I saw him at Phuc Lam the other day.
Oh, nice.
I was like, hey, that's that guy.
It's that guy.
And my wife was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And I was like, you know. And she's like, nope.
Nope, new idea.
And I was like, well.
But I went there, and they had all these art, you know, pieces in the lobby, because it's in, like, the museum.
So did that Piggy
art.
Smalls, like, do they not amicable, or what?
Piggy Smalls?
Because he went from Pig and the Lady to Piggy they gave Smalls. Him Piggy Smalls.
Right.
And then now he's at MW. So right. I didn't know if, like, there was, like, some kind of beef.
Bazing.
You know, I don't know.
I heard it was a faux pas. Ha. Gotcha. No, I don't know.
Maybe he fucked up.
But they have all this art, and it's like a bunch of people, you know, they take the plastic off the beach and they make it into art and shit like that. And, you know, I mean, that's cool. I don't want to take down anybody for, you know, trying to be creative and shit.
Oh,
but,
no.
I couldn't possibly.
I take down the people that buy it.
But I couldn't possibly pay $800 for a bunch of trash that's glued to a fucking canvas.
That's what I'm fucking talking about.
You know, and no matter, like, even if you made the coolest fucking plastic art piece ever.
Yeah.
It still wouldn't be worth $800 fucking dollars. No. You know, as far as, like, what kind of decor do you have in your house that it would go with a, you know, a recycled, fucking upcycled plastic.
Well, that's the thing about art. Like, I get that it's fucking subjective and, like, it's all in the eye of the beholder. But that still doesn't make it right for... Then it should be, what would you pay for this?
Yeah.
There shouldn't be a price on it.
Yeah, it cost me $50
to where I work,
crap up.
Where I work, we hang art on the walls for, like, local artists that can, and they can sell their art on the... You know, like, it's a twofold thing. Like, you're supporting a local artist.
Yeah.
You're getting some nice stuff on the walls until people buy it. I get it. But you have, like... There's a nice picture, painting, over here. Simple, sea life, whatever, what have you. It's beautiful.
Sure.
I like it. I was like, ooh, maybe the you know, frame it for the kids' room. It's kind of a girly, you know, thing for the girls' room. It was like $155.
Right.
And it was like a 2-foot square that wasn't even completely filled with art, right? So it's like, that's not worth it to me.
Yeah.
Two walls over, there's this giant 4x4 picture, even just as cool, very kid friendly, very cool. Like, I really enjoyed it. It's a numbered piece, it's not a lithograph, it's painted, blah blah, all this stuff. Same basic genre of art, different artist, $65. Double the art, right? Like, why is this guy think his art, his little baby art, of basically the same thing, is worth $150, and this guy's like, "Ah, fucking $65."
Well, like, you know, they say, like, you know, they say the autonomy of art is when you show it to someone, it doesn't belong to you anymore. You know, it belongs to them and what they're willing to pay for it. I don't know if you're familiar with a painter whose name is Mark Rothko. He actually committed suicide, unfortunately. Sorry, Mark. But Mark's paintings sold for...
To the homies.
Sold for the most out of any post-World War II modern artist. Everything.
Even Basquiat?
So one sold for $70 million, and then the next year one sold for $220 million.
That's because he's dead now.
Well, it's because he's dead, yeah. But they sold for a lot even before he was actually dead. But the thing about Mark Rothko's paintings, and I actually like them... is they're just colors. They're just colors and hues of colors.
Like gradient hues, or is it like one canvas that's all just blue?
Like, for example, yeah, some of them are like monochromatic, some of them are dichromatic, and some of them are bichromatic, you know, they're very flexible.
That was last episode.
Biophobia. But if you go and check out Mark Rothko's paintings online, they're cool. But I mean, quite honestly, I mean, you or anyone could stay at home and basically, you know, almost derive a similar outcome. And you'd be, you know, $221 million.
But then you would be $1 million,
you know, perhaps, you know. I don't think you could redo his artwork because it's already been done. You know, there's no one that can paint a couple colors on an artist, you know, canvas, and it's going to be worth $220 million, you know.
Exactly. But why is his worth that even before he was dead?
No idea.
Like, he basically is color swatching shit.
Yeah. You could get a better painting at Benjamin Moore.
Right.
You know, if you just went to Benjamin Moore and glued a bunch of fucking swatches together, I mean, you could probably make something pretty cool. You could
put a frame on your white wall right now and then paint the interior of what's in that frame blue.
Yeah.
Boom. Rothko.
I actually have a very unique artist style, and I have one downstairs. And the frame is nice. There's nothing inside, though. It's just a frame on a white wall, you know. And that's it.
Ta-da.
You know, welcome.
You know what you should do is just put a fucking hammer into that wall and let it sit there.
Yeah, that would be art. You know? People go, hey.
It's an installation.
Exactly. I have a couple bowling balls.
Charge, you know. Yeah. No. Just drop them onto stuff.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I'm going to have to edit that out because I hate hearing myself slurp spit.
Yeah.
I don't know why I do it.
We're disgusting creatures, man.
Yeah. I'm a fucking gross. Or whatever. You know what, though? I think it's time to go eat.
I think it's time, dude.
Yeah. We're going to bid adieu to this fucking episode.
A fine farewell.
Yeah. So, as always, Instagram, Mouthfuls of Madness, Twitter, at Mouthfuls M. You can reach me at Mouthfuls of Madness Podcast at gmail.com. Fucking do it. What are you waiting for? I mean, I don't care if you do or not. But, I mean, you could do it if you want. But if not, then, you know, go fuck yourself. Or don't. Or just listen. But this is going to be a special episode that I'll just post whenever the fuck I feel like it, because I already did this week's episode. But this was a happy happenstance to come over and hang out with the Tristan. So why not take advantage of that? All right. We're going to go eat some noodles.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.